It's moral greatness. It's moral greatness. I just want to emphasize, beloved, just going back to the greatness of this man who has taken up this for us, the Lord Jesus. And it's not before Calvary, before he has taken it up this in relation to function. His personal greatness, we know, we know that. Aaron, in going into the most holy place, had to have bells on his coattail. If it happened that Aaron failed in that place, who would take him out? I tell you that. That's something to think about. There was a man morally greater than Aaron. That's Moses. His moral greatness. He is from the same tribe. Moral greatness. The Lord Jesus, in his capacity, has fitted not only the functional aspect, but personally greatness as a person. Aaron didn't have what Moses had. He had the privilege of the function as God had designated. Moses had another privilege. But if Aaron fails, there is a man before God, friend of God, according to God's grace, that would take him out. The Lord Jesus, he doesn't need that. He is great, absolutely great.
You know, I was thinking that, I was going to ask the brethren, this expression, harmless. It would be useful to have some comments on that. But I was going to go on to say that the greatness of the high priest, of the new priest, is demonstrated in the sacrifice. Now, by one sacrifice, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. But, you know, and we think about this always in terms of the fact that there is no repetition for his sacrifice. And that is true. The Aaronic priesthood had to repeat the sacrifice every year. But even if Aaron was, if the sacrifice that he offered was sustaining, the fact is that he had to offer at least two sacrifices. He had to offer first for himself, and then he had to offer for the people. This priest needs only one sacrifice, because he offers only for the people. There is none necessary for himself. And that one sacrifice has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Sons are sanctified. Yes.
Can you just allow me to make one comment on something?
Go ahead, brother.
That someone had asked, "What does harmless mean?" Yeah. Harmless means without guile, without a single thought that is in opposition to God. Without guile, he is morally fit to be in the presence of God. But he must be, because he is God.
As a quick follow-up to that, man, I was wondering about this expression in relation to Aaron. You remember that Aaron built a golden calf and came down, and great harm was done to the people. And Moses asked why, and he said, "The people, you know, and I put it in the fire, and this is what came out." He wasn't harmless as a high priest. He did great damage to the people, and there is that risk in the priesthood in human hands, that the priest does damage instead of good. There is not that risk with our great high priest.
I was wondering, brethren, if we couldn't also comment on what could be nuances in difference, but they're significant nevertheless, between the words holy undefiled and separate from sinners. Holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners.
Each one of these expressions are very useful to show the distinction between the Lord Jesus and his predecessors. If you could recall, the high priest was given a golden crown. And on that crown was inscribed holiness to the Lord. It was a reminder of and somewhat a testimony of those who looked upon him that his office was a sanctified one. The distinction here is that the one who is our great high priest is sanctified himself by virtue of who he is. And as such, the Lord Jesus Christ was fully set apart for God. He set himself apart. And a good distinction is to realize all of his official duties here is in relation to his manhood. The second thing is harmless, as was said. I won't touch on that, but the idea is that blameless. Blameless. And then, undefiled. The book of Zechariah in chapter 3 presents before us Joshua, the high priest, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And what does it say of Joshua? He had on what? Defiled garments. The priesthood was defiled. But the priesthood in the hands of the Lord Jesus in this official office can never be defiled. And thus it's important to magnify how great he is. That it's impossible. The Lord had to rebuke Satan in view of his work to say, yes, this is the brand plucked from the burning because of the work of Calvary. But we don't have to worry about that. And then he says also, separate from sinners. This brings before us the whole idea of the work that the priest had to do in examining such cases as leprosy. Because he had to examine that individual, he had to be one who had to go and look. And you see even in the book of Luke again, so beautiful, a man there is leprous and he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What did the Lord Jesus do? He touched him. Possible for that work for that defilement not to be transferred to the priest in that sense, but not so. He suffered from sinners. And then this is so beautiful, takes it so higher, is that he is, it says here, made higher than the heaven, but it has become higher. It's an elevated office that transcends even that boundary. And these are some things that we can, again, in answer to his greatness, see for ourselves, the evidence that he is. And there's much more, but I'll pause now.